Dear Lord, thank you for this day and for this awesome privilege you've given us to be able to come together this evening around this nationwide gospel meeting call. We're thankful, Lord, for the technology you have made available for us, Lord, to be able to share your message of the truth about your son Jesus and his church to a lost and dying world. Lord, we pray for the listeners who are listening this evening, Lord, that Brother Mosier communicates something to them that is strictly from your word. We know, Lord, that your word will not return to you void. We know that your word is God-breathed. We pray, Lord, that it pricks the heart of every listener this evening, that they may know what is required of them to be saved. Lord, we're thankful for the Church of Christ. We're thankful, Lord, for this blood-bought institution, this kingdom that your son is king over. We pray, Lord, that we can continue and bless us with another opportunity to continue to message out the gospel about your son to everyone who is willing to hear and continue to place us in the path of those who are seeking your truth. We pray, Lord, that we are just like Philip, that when we have the opportunity to be between those individuals and before their final destination, that we can teach them the gospel and that they may ask the question, men and brethren, what must I do to be saved? We ask this prayer in your son's name we pray. Amen.
We're so thankful to have everybody on the call. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel call. We're very excited tonight. The call is loaded. For Friday night, we have thousands of people on the call already, and the lines are still lighting up. Again, I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of the Church of Christ in Holland Heights, located 1005 West Little York in Houston, Texas. We're thankful to have every person on the call, especially those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ. We put this call on with you in mind. In the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is 100% correct. It's authoritative. It's from God. We believe it gives us the basic, simple instructions for what we must do to save our souls. So if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to hear these basic truths about what you must do to save your soul. Tonight, our speaker in the person of Brother Keith Mosier. Brother Mosier is from Louisville, Kentucky, and his home is in South Haven, Mississippi. Brother Mosier also is the Dean of Academics and Student Life at the Memphis School of Preaching. Some sound preachers coming out of that school, I tell you. Tonight, I'm just excited to have him. He's a man of God and one who's sound in doctrine. And he's going to speak to us tonight the truth about the precious blood of the Lamb. I'd ask you to give your attention. Take notes. Write down the things. Open your Bible up and follow along to members of the church. You'll be revived through this message. Brother Mosier, will you tell us the truth about the precious blood of the Lamb?
Thank you, Brother Brooks. It is our task this evening to impress upon our minds the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That blood, my friends, is eternally connected to our salvation from sin. The blood of Christ has never been out of the mind of the Godhead. In fact, Peter tells us, 1 Peter 1:18, that blood was determined before the foundation of the world to be salvation. It is the case that Adam, a perfect man, sinned in the garden. And God's justice demanded that a perfect man be the sacrifice in order to satisfy God's holiness. That perfect man was the second person of the Godhead in human flesh, who came to earth in order to shed his blood for our salvation. Isaiah said 730 years before the Christ ever came that he, the Christ, would be wounded for our transgressions, Isaiah 53:5. The prophet Zechariah, down around 450 B.C., said that that fountain of blood would be opened by the Messiah for sin and uncleanness. In fact, God even used the enemies of Christ to point out that one man should die for the people, John 11:49 through 52. That enemy of Christ was Caiaphas, the legal high priest of the day, when Christ was crucified. So Peter writes, before the foundation of the world, the precious blood of the Lamb was slain. 1 Peter 1:19. What is it that Christ's blood does for us? It takes care of our sin problem. In fact, it washes away our sins. The Hebrews writer put it this way, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Hebrews 9:22. This is the reason that that same Hebrews writer would write that Christ tasted death for every man. When the Revelator preached and wrote, John the Revelator, the apostle of Christ, John wrote that salvation came from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. And John said, praise unto him that loved us, notice that, and washed us, notice that, from our sins in his own blood. It's an amazing fact in history that the prophet Isaiah, a long time before the Messiah ever came, over seven centuries before the Christ ever came, Isaiah pictured the Messiah as coming in red. Isaiah 63:1. Garments red stained. Isaiah 63:1. And the question is asked, Isaiah 63:2. Why are you in red clothing, Messiah? He said, I have trodden the winepress alone. There wasn't anyone else who could do it, Isaiah 63:3. He did it all by himself. When I think about that blood-stained back from the scourging, Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, John 19:1. When I think about that brow and all of the vascular bleeding with the thorns pressed on his head when one of those cruel soldiers hit the Lord over the head with the reed that the soldier had placed in the Lord's hand. And when I think about the nails in his hands and in his feet, and then I think that even after he was dead, a soldier pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. It is a very bloody scene when we think about the Messiah who was stained in red. Can you hear that, my friend? Can you understand that? If you want to have a pure soul, it has to be washed in the blood of Christ. It has to make you have on a proper garment for salvation. The Revelator said that he saw people whose robes were washed in the blood of Christ. They were pure, Revelation 7:14. Isn't there any way for me to be pure on my own? The life is in the blood, the Old Testament teaches us. And this blood of Christ was given to us because we could not save ourselves. It was given to set us apart from the world. It was given to sanctify us. Sadly, many in so-called Christendom teach the sanctification means we are forgiven of our original sin. We are then sanctified or holy. A major religion out of Rome teaches that there are certain people who are sanctified or saints. But my friends, the word sanctified simply means to be set apart. I want to give you two verses of scripture here so that you can always identify for people what sanctify means. In Exodus 13:2, we have the command from God to the people of that time that they were to sanctify the firstborn to God. What's that mean? Exodus 13:2, sanctify. But Exodus 13:12, set apart unto me the firstborn. What does it mean to be sanctified? Simply, it means to be set apart for God's use. And we are set apart, or translated out of darkness, set apart for God's use by the very blood of Christ. It was that blood that translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, wherein we have forgiveness through his blood, Colossians 1, 13 and 14. What a magnificent thought it is to be able to tell people about the precious blood of Christ. An innocent who died just for me. An innocent who shed his very lifeblood just for me. There's a plus for those of us who have become Christians. It's the case that when we are penitent, when we are confessing, when we are walking in the light, that blood continually cleanses us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7. It's an amazing fact that the whole of becoming a Christian, the whole of the Christian life, and the whole of the Christian life, and the whole of the Christian life is involved with the blood of Jesus. We were set apart from the dead works of the law of Moses by the blood. His blood is of the new covenant, Matthew 26, 28. And I want to point out something from that verse for a moment. As Jesus sat at the Last Supper table, he told his apostles, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Jesus died for the remission of sins. He didn't die because the sins were already forgiven. He died in order that they could be forgiven, that his blood could cleanse them. That phrase, for the remission of sins, was used by Peter when he told the audience of his day, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." That is, in order to have that. There then must be a connection between baptism and the blood. And as we come to the end of talking about the significance of the blood, I want to help us understand how to apply that thought. How do I connect the blood to baptism? How do I access the blood of Christ is a great question. Because we're in debt to God when we sin. Sin incurs a debt. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6, 23. And the only way we can have peace with God is because of the blood of Christ. Paul told the Colossian brethren, "And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself." Colossians 1:20. There's a barrier between man and God when man stays in sin, and that very barrier is man's sin. It's not God's fault that man is not reconciled to God. It's man's fault. Our sins will hide his face from us. His hand is in shortened that it cannot save, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. In fact, friends, the desire for the world makes us enemies of God, James 4, 4. We need a relationship with God, and it can only be restored through the blood of Christ. It can only be reconciled through the blood of Christ. Sometimes I will get a phone call from brethren who are troubled. Some church may be troubled. "Will you come and help us resolve the conflict?" I cannot do that. In fact, it is logically impossible to resolve a conflict. In order to resolve a conflict, I would have to be of the magical power to remove every thought from your brain forever, because you can always remember why you're arguing. You can't forget that. There's no way to erase that from our computer-like minds. And so what do we mean we can't resolve the conflict? Well, let me put this another way. The greatest problem man has is the sin problem. And God has never resolved it. What? No. He reconciled us to him and made up the difference between our lack of holiness and his holiness by the very blood of his Son, who was a God-man. Why a God-man? So he could mediate between us and God, so he could reconcile us to God. The greatest problem man has ever had to be reconciled. Can't be resolved. There's no way to resolve that problem. So God had to justify us, and he did it by the blood of his Son. He did it and made up the difference between our lack of holiness and his holiness through that precious blood we're talking about tonight. That's why Paul could write to the Corinthian brethren, God made him, the Christ, to be sin, that is, the sin offering, for him, by him who knew no sin. Paul's very careful to tell us he wasn't a sinner on the cross. He was the sin offering. And what happened when he became the sin offering? The one who knew no sin, the innocent sufferer, the one who shed his blood, what happened? We are made the righteousness of God in him. We are reconciled by the very death of Jesus, Romans 5:11. When I became a Christian, I was much more justified by his blood, Romans 5:9. Think about that a moment. In Romans 5:6-8, Paul told us that before we ever became Christians, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and much more. Not only did he die for us, much more, he made up the difference between our lack of holiness and God's holiness. He justified us, how? By the blood. It's interesting to me that until I'm covered by the blood of Christ, God can't see me. What a paradoxical statement that is. Before I can be seen by God, I must be covered by the blood of Christ. You see, when I sin, I break God's law. Sin is a transgression of the law of God, 1 John 3:4. But once I'm in Christ, there's no condemnation. I haven't broken the law. I'm covered by the blood. There is therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the law of Moses, the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? Just that. You sin, you die. If you're covered by the blood, you can go and live with God eternally. What a wonderful thought. If I walk in the light, continual covering. If I am in Christ, no condemnation. Why? Because of the blood, the precious blood of Christ. If I'm in Christ, no slavery to sin, Ephesians 1:7. I'm redeemed. I'm bought again. I'm back in favor with God. I'm no longer a slave of sin itself, Romans 6:5. I have been redeemed from every lawless deed. I have denied ungodliness and worldly lust, and I live soberly and righteously for God. And so Peter would write, in the long, long ago, about this great, precious, precious blood of Christ. For as much as you know, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. You're not redeemed by an idol, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made known in these last times for you. Redeemed. How I love to shout it. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Well, how significant is the blood of Christ? It's eternally connected to our salvation, to our sanctification, to our justification. Well, then how do I contact the blood? There is no verse of Scripture that says that I should ask Jesus to come into my heart if I'm a sinner. No, there would be no place for him in that evil heart. I can't invite him into an evil heart. So the Bible doesn't teach that. There's no place in Scripture that says I'm saved and then I'm baptized. The Bible doesn't teach that. We've already pointed out to you that Christ shed his blood for the remission of sins, and we're baptized for the remission of sins. There's a connection. Something happens when I'm baptized that has to do with the blood of Christ, not the water in which I'm baptized, but the blood of Christ is contacted somehow when I obey Christ, when I am baptized for the remission of my sins. If you will open your Bible to the 6th chapter of Romans for a moment, I'll show you the connection, hopefully. I hope you'll write down these verses and remember them. And watch how Paul applies obeying the gospel to being justified by the blood of Christ. I'm reading from Romans 6, beginning at verse 16. Paul says, "Do you not know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are?" You're the slave of the one you're obeying, Paul says. Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? "Whether of sin unto death, are you obeying sin? If you're not a Christian, you're obeying sin." There are only two groups in the world today, the saved Christians and the lost sinners. So if I'm still lost, I'm obeying sin. But he says, if you are yielding to that, you're not the obedient one unto righteousness. That's justification, folks. There's something to obey that makes me justified, makes me righteous. "But God be thanked, you were the servants of sin." But now watch what they did. They obeyed from the heart. They understood exactly what they were doing. A pattern or form of teaching, a form of doctrine, the King James says. These people, from their own volition, out of an understanding of what they were to do, obeyed a pattern of teaching. And being then made free from sin. When were they made free from sin? When they obeyed from the heart, from their minds, they understood what they were doing, a form of doctrine that was delivered them. Underline that word, delivered. And follow with me over to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We're looking at how to contact the blood of Christ. The Romans had a pattern of teaching delivered them that made them free from sin. And here Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Now watch this word here. Underline it. "For I delivered unto you." Paul delivered some kind of teaching to them, just as the Romans had a certain teaching delivered to them. "For I delivered unto you that, first of all, which I also received." Paul said, "I received the same teaching you did." All Christians, if they are true Christians, have received the same teaching, the correct teaching from Scripture. And what did you receive, Paul? "How that Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Paul called the death, burial, and resurrection of the Christ the gospel. And Paul said to the Romans, they obeyed that pattern of teaching. They obeyed the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. How did they do that? And why was it so important that they obey the death, burial, and resurrection? Paul writes it this way. Let's go back to Romans 6. We started out in Romans 6, 16 through 18. We went to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 3. And now we have come back to Romans 6, verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ," or Jesus Christ, "were baptized into his death." There's the death. "It occurred when I was immersed." I have to be immersed to be baptized correctly, according to the Scriptures. Why? Because you don't sprinkle dirt on a person you're burying. You bury him. We were buried with Christ. There's your burial. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, ours. We have to die to sin. That like as Christ, here comes the resurrection, was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Paul says very clearly that the pattern of teaching is the death, burial, and resurrection, and that we are baptized into the very death of Christ. Why is that important, my friend? Because of what John the Apostle wrote. John the Apostle wrote that when the soldiers came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they did not break his legs. They had broken the legs of the thieves so that they could not push themselves up anymore and breathe, and they would die that way. They didn't need to do that. To Jesus, he was already dead. And then the most heinous crime, to me, was committed. A soldier with his spear pierced the side of the Lord, who was dead already. But in his death, forthwith there came out blood and water. And John writes, this is John 19, 33 through 35. John finishes that by saying, and he that saw bear record, John the apostle saw that happen. And we know that his record is true. When did Jesus shed his blood? That precious blood. That blood that justifies us and sanctifies us. That blood that puts us into Christ and covers us and keeps on covering us once we become Christians if we're penitent and confessing. Where do we contact that blood? In the burial of baptism. We access the blood of Christ. God puts us into Christ. God justifies us, not because of the water of baptism, but in that act, we have placed ourselves in the place where God can justify us. We're all the children of God by faith. Where is that located, Paul? Where's that system of faith, that gospel system located? By faith in Christ. For as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Dear reader, dear listener, it seems sad to me that the whole time I was growing up, no one ever told me, and I went to church every Sunday, I went to a denominational church every Sunday, no one ever told me how to contact the blood of Christ, the precious blood that takes away our sins, the precious blood that continually cleanses us once we become Christians, the precious blood that cost the life of the second person of the Godhead, who is the very glory of God. Baptism represented his death. Baptism is where we contact the blood so he can wash away our sins, Revelation 1:5. Baptism, therefore, can be said to wash away our sins, Acts 22:16. Jesus' blood sets me apart for God's use, Hebrews 13:12. We are sanctified and cleansed by the washing of water by the word, Ephesians 5:27. By the washing of regeneration, Titus 3:4-7. Jesus' blood even cleanses my conscience, Hebrews 9, so that I can serve the living God, Hebrews 9:13-14. Baptism is the answer of a good conscience toward God. Baptism, with my faith, puts me into the place where the blood, the precious blood of Christ, covers me. Dear friends tonight, if you would be saved, you need the blood of Christ, and the only way you can contact it is through repentance, confession, and baptism. May God bless us in our study tonight of the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Brother Mosier, I feel like I have sat across the table from a wise man. You've been 81 years. Brothers, sisters, and friends, tonight, Brother Mosier has came into our homes and sit across our table. He showed us from the scripture that the precious red blood can wash away our sins. And we wanted you to hear this, my friends. We pray tonight, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you would take heed to what you've heard tonight, that you must be baptized to contact that precious blood of the one who suffered, bled, and died, and that his vesture was dipped in blood. That's Jesus the Christ, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. If you're on the call tonight, we pray we reach your heart, that you too will receive with meekness God's engrafted word, for it's able to save your souls. You say, Brother Brooks, I want to contact that blood. I want you to get back with the person who put you on the call tonight, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, and tell them you want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Why? It's precious. It'll wash away your sins. And because it will wash away your sins, believe this, that Jesus said, if you die in your sins where I am, you can't come. My friends in Houston right now, they're saying that the COVID-19 epidemic, pandemic can be apocalyptic, destructive. It's all over the world, though. Sin has always been apocalyptic. People are going to die in their sins. But because you listen tonight, you don't have to be in that number. What we want you to do, email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. We got many, many, many states all across this nation listening, and even global, that are listening tonight. Take this message as a message from God for you. But we don't know where death's at. Tonight, it may be that you will lay your head down on a dying pillow. But you have heard the truth. So if you want to go back and say, I need to listen to that a little more, go to our website, hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And you can listen to all the recorded messages that we've had from May through this June. And Brother Moshe has closed us out, I think, with probably the most precious message that we could hear. How precious was our Lord. How precious was his blood. We thank you for listening. We pray that you, if you want a Bible class, let us know. You can go to our website. We got online Bible courses, free online Bible studies that you can go to. Just go to hollandheightscoc.net, do online courses. You can do that, and we have many links that you can go to, and we'll get those classes for you, or we'll send someone to your home. We'll find someone in your state to come study with you. My friends, I want to say to the young men on the call, if you want to be a preacher, consider the Memphis School of Preaching, Brother Moses is at. We got Bear Valley School of Preaching, Brown Trails, Florida School of Preaching. All these schools, Houston Christian Institute, all these schools are producing men who believe that the Bible is right. And we got to do it God's way, you all. We're losing friends, families, and loved ones to false doctrine. Please take this call serious and get back with us. Now, next month, we're going into July, and I'm just excited to talk about upcoming calls, upcoming speakers. The first week of July, we got some powerful preachers coming online. We got some powerful speakers coming. And we want you to know that we are going to continue through the end of July. 25 speakers, 25 sermons. We got me and Brother Thomas Martin from Seattle, Washington, Brother Samuel Ramirez from Tahlequah, Oklahoma, Mike Hickson from Olive Branch in Memphis, and John DeBerry from Memphis, Tennessee, Daniel Freeman from Nebraska. Then we got Don Blackwell coming back on from Mississippi, Leo Gay from Las Vegas, Nevada, Tom Waycaster from Mississippi, Tony DeBerry from Tennessee. We got Brother Rob Whitaker and Brother Wild Whitaker with the House to House. Jack Honeycutt, the famous debate on water baptism is essential. Jose Castorino, from Tennessee, Daniel Webster from Nebraska, Yuris Robertson from Texas. We got Billy Bland, Terrence, Brother Denny from Florida, Brother Joe Reyes from Olive, excuse me. He's also, Olive Branch, Mississippi. And then closing it out going to be Brother Flunder and myself. Wow, what a great lineup for the month of June. You don't want to miss next week. Tune in next week to hear why God gave his only son, the precious blood of Christ, to save the in the church, the cleansing power of the blood. More information coming to you. I hope you're excited. I am. I hope you're being revived. I am. I hope some are being restored. I hope that those who are on the call that are members of the church are being reminded. If you left the basic doctrine of Christ, come home, you prodigal. Please restore back to New Testament pattern of worship and leave those churches of Christ who went to innovations. Tonight, I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. I am super excited, if you can tell, about the success of this meeting with me and like Brother Mosier agreeing to come on and be with us tonight. I hope you understand the seriousness of what we're doing. We're being very selective of who we bring on our call. Let's pray to God right now. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, for the blood, the red blood, as Isaiah 63 talked about. The vesture that was dipped in blood. The suffering that your son went through on that cross to save our souls. He became sin for us. He wasn't a sinner. Lord, help us realize, help us see that with our mind's eye, how he suffered to save our souls. We pray for our listening audience that they, if they're not members of the Church of Christ, know that's the only church in the Bible, that they must contact the blood. And we pray for our Bible classes, as I have one coming up tomorrow with those who've been on the call. We pray for all the Bible classes that are going on all over this nation regarding, as it pertains, for those who have listened to this call. Father, we pray you keep their hearts open, that they'll receive it, that they'll obey it before it's eternally too late. Thank you for our speakers. Thank you for Brother Mosier and men like him who've been on this battlefield for many years, but still teaching the simple, plain truth as written in your scriptures. Help us to be just New Testament Christians and Christians only. Thank you for our VIPs. Thank you for the visitors. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ who love the gospel, support the gospel, and are on here on our cause this week. And all the time we've been on the call, we pray for them too, that they be revived, restored, and edified. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love all of you. We pray tonight that you have a peaceful night's rest if you're saved. If you're not saved, we pray you struggle with what you've heard so that you can clear your conscience and sleep at peace. More importantly, that you'll die in peace, knowing that you hear Jesus say, "Well done, that good and faithful servant." Have a good night as you lay your head down on the pillow. Thank you for calling.